have done as a community. So this year, we're going to have a bit of a different type of outreach. And to start to introduce this to you, we're going to play a video for you all. So this year, as a bit of an Advent outreach, we're going to be really using that model from Advent Conspiracy, they're called, with these 4 points: worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. And it's less specific than what we've done in the past, and what I love about that is I know that each of you has your own specific context and community, and I believe that Jesus is calling each of us to our specific contexts to love the people around us. So that's what we're going to be doing this year. And we're going to be sending you out into your own communities and ask, where is God leading me? Maybe to worship fully. What does it mean for me to worship in my, oh, there goes my water bottle, worship in my community? Or maybe God's asking you to give something up, to spend less. Or maybe God's calling you to invite that neighbor over or reach out to that friend you haven't talked to. So we're really going to be sending one another out in this month of December. But we want to have something to actually visualize what has been done through our community. So if you look at that table in the back that Anthony is right next to conveniently, hey Anthony, there is a bunch of these ornament tags. And what we're going to ask you to do is to pray about this. God, where are you leading me to love the community you have placed me in? And what we're asking you to do is grab one of these and write it down. Maybe you're going to write down, I gave to Hope Mission, or I invited a neighbor over for dinner, or I reached out to a family member. Whatever it is for you, to grab one of these There's a little hole in it, and you can put rope around it. There's some twine back there. And then hang it on this tree right here. And really our hope is that throughout this Advent season, we're going to look at this tree, and it's going to be a testimony as we see it's so full of what God has been doing through our community. Make sense? Awesome. Wonderful. So some other things we want to be aware of, really just one more I'm going to point out. Make sure you're checking your bulletin. There's lots of different updates in that. But one more thing that I want us to be aware of is that December 22nd is going to be our annual Christmas with Friends service. We've done this the past few years. December 22nd, there's going to be a lunch, free lunch. You guys are, I thought you'd be way more excited for that. There's going to be family-friendly activities. There's going to be crafts. We're going to get the fire pit out. It's going to be a really fun event. And again, this is really an event. We call it Christmas with Friends because it's such a good time to invite your friend, your neighbor, your family. So think about that. Pray about that. Who is God placing on your heart to invite to this service on December 22nd? So before I jump into the sermon, why don't we start off in a word of prayer today? Well, Jesus, today on this even holy day as we kick off this Advent season, we look to you. Jesus, we thank you that you are with us and that we can know your presence. Would you be inspiring our hearts even today and leading us? Where can we go and love our communities, God? So we invite you into this space. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if I could get my slides up here. I wanted to start off our Advent series with a bit of a quote here. And this really a quote about Christmas that I think is an amazing quote. That's why I'm reading it from St. Augustine. And he writes this: he was created of a mother whom he created. He was carried by hands that he formed. He cried in the manger in wordless infancy. He, the Word, without whom all human eloquence is mute. It's a beautiful quote, isn't it? As we always, every year, we come to this Advent season, and it's a full month, really, of anticipation, of anticipating what Christmas is really about. What is Christmas really about, right? It's always this season of recentering. Obviously, Christmas, it's about Jesus. And specifically, we use this term for Jesus around Christmas, which is Emmanuel, right? He's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And that is what Christmas is. Really, if we could summarize Christmas in three words, it is God with us. And Advent is this season of anticipation and expectancy. And it's this exciting season as we await God's presence. Today, as we kick off our Advent series and really this season of expectation, I hope to remind us of who our God is. I hope to remind us actually of the character of our God. Because when Jesus came, God became human. It's this crazy thing, right? Maybe we're like too used to that. If you actually pause and think, it's crazy that God would become man. It's this crazy and this scandalous and this strange idea. We call it the incarnation, and many would have thought it as blasphemous or impossible. How could God become human? But today I want to look at the character of our God. I want to look at God's character, not just in the story of the birth of Jesus, but I want to look at God's character throughout the whole biblical narrative, throughout the whole Bible, and I hope that we can see that even though the incarnation, God becoming man, is this strange and amazing thing, it is exactly within the character of our God. That yes, the incarnation, God becoming man, it's this very unique and strange and amazing thing, but this is the very character of our God, that he loves to be present with his people, that he is so close to us. When we think of God, we probably get different pictures of him. I think most of us would kind of picture God up high up in the sky, kind of far away. I think most cultures that had some type of deity would imagine that their God is far away or doesn't really care about them, right? But this is not our God. And that's what Christmas really is all about, is that our God loves us and that our God is with us and that our God cares about us, even the little parts of our lives. So that's my hope today, is to kind of work through not just the Christmas story, but actually take a look throughout the Bible at the character of our God. Who is he? What is he like? And there's two things I want to focus on here, these two points here. The first is this, that God's favorite place, his favorite place is to be with his people. That's amazing, hey? The second thing is this, that he makes a way for us to be with him. His favorite place to be is with us, with his people, and he makes a way for us to be with him. And of course, we're going to be looking at this character of our God, that he's persistently present, that he persists in pursuing us and knowing us and being with us. So I want to kind of look at this first point, this idea that God's favorite place is to be with his people. What does that look like throughout the Bible? And obviously, we can look at the very, very beginning of the Bible, right? We know the story in Genesis. God makes all things, and he makes this special place on earth, this garden where Adam and Eve are, and it's this special place because God is fully present there. It says that God is walking around the garden with Adam and Eve. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? God is with them. And the funny thing about the biblical story is that continuously we see God's people pushing him away. It's very repetitive, the biblical story. We always push God away. We sin, we worship idols, we make mistakes. Sometimes we just don't want God to be around, and yet he is persistent in his presence with his people. He wants to save his people, and he wants to be with us. And this is what we see throughout the Bible. Again and again, God shows up. He is persistently present. He is always, it's funny when you read through the Bible as a story, it's quite random. He shows up in random places and at random times. We can think a little bit later in the book of Genesis, there's this guy named Abraham, right? Very important character in the Bible. He's a random person. He's a nobody. He lives in the middle of nowhere, and God shows up. God shows up, and he makes Abraham a promise. He makes Abraham a promise that he will have many descendants, and that his descendants will be God's people, and he will be their God. And we can look at the next book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. And maybe you know the story of Moses. Moses, who just made a big mistake, he actually killed a man, and he was running away from his life, fleeing from his life, trying to start a new life in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. And what does he see one day? A bush that's on fire. And he walks up to that bush. He's like, "What is happening?" And he realizes that this is not just a bush on fire, but this is the very presence of the living God. And he has to take off his sandals because he realizes he's on holy ground. God just randomly shows up, our persistently present God. But I want to really focus in on a specific story in the book of Exodus that I think really highlights these two points for us. So this is in the second half of the book of Exodus. We probably are kind of familiar with the first half, where God has freed the Israelites from slavery and they've escaped Egypt. And that's kind of the exciting part of the book. And in the second half, they're basically in the middle of nowhere. So I want us to picture this. The whole nation of Israel, God's people, they were just delivered from Egypt. Okay, they were just delivered. They were just freed. And picture this, whole nation, where are they? They're in the middle of nowhere. They're in the middle of a desert, in the middle of the wilderness, it describes it. This is really a time of crisis for all of these people. And all of these people, they're probably, and we know, they're trying to figure out, where are we going to get water next? Where are we going to get our next meal? Where are we going? And they kind of know where they're going, but they don't know how they're going to get there or what's going to happen once they're there. And this really is a time of crisis for God's people. They're in the middle of nowhere, and they're scared, and they're confused. And what does our persistently present God do? Even in this very, very inconvenient time, God shows up. And he shows up, and his presence comes in a powerful way. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're close to a mountain that we call Sinai. And God's presence appears on this mountain in a unique and new way. And originally, God wants all of the people to go up the mountain, and the people did not all want to climb that mountain. So the leaders of Israel, they go up. And it's this crazy story where the leaders of Israel are sharing a meal together, and they're looking up and they see God's presence in a unique and powerful way. But I think that the story gets really interesting here in Exodus 24, verse 8. This is God speaking to the people. "They are to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them." Again, think about the context. God's people, where are they? They're in the middle of nowhere. They're on the very beginning of a very long journey. God probably could have waited until they made it to the land they were walking to. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're trying to figure out where their next meal is going to come from. They're in this time of crisis. This is an inconvenient time, but our persistently present God, he looks at them and he says, "Build me a home so that I can live among you." Are we starting to see the character of our God? His favorite place to be is with his people. And he doesn't wait until the perfect time when they're a little bit more settled down and things are a little bit better for them. God cannot wait to live among his people. So he asks them to build him this, we call it a tabernacle. It's like a tent. It's a portable temple because they're still walking around. So they build God this portable house where his presence can dwell in this powerful and unique way. And at the very end of the book of Exodus, because basically the rest of the book is about building this thing, at the very end in chapter 40 here, it says this: "The cloud, which is God's presence, covered the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." This is our God. He's persistently present. His favorite place to be is with his people. Even at this inconvenient time and inconvenient place, God shows up in a unique way because he can't wait to be near his people. But the next verse here, it says something interesting. It says this: "Moses was unable to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud rested on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So God, he's here. He showed up. He's here in this powerful and unique way, but Moses still can't go inside of the tent because God's presence is so holy and powerful and amazing, and Moses even is still full of sin and darkness and really contaminated by death, so he can't walk in to this tent. But what's our second point? God finds a way. God makes a way for us to be with him. He makes a way for us to be with him. So this is the end of the book of Exodus. And the very next book is called Leviticus. And I'll put this up for us so we have it. And Leviticus is all about solving this problem. God is here, but how do we live near his presence? How are we going to live near his presence? And if you've tried to read this book, maybe it seemed kind of boring to you without some context. But Leviticus really is this. It's an instruction manual that God gives his people and says, do this and you will be able to live in and near my presence. And that's what the whole book is about. So Leviticus begins and Moses is outside of the tent. He can't go in. And God, he gives them this instruction manual for how to live and how to really infuse your camp and your nation with the very life of God so that you can live in his presence. That's what the whole book of Leviticus is about. God makes a way for us to be with him. Right? He shows up and now he's making a way. And I think this story has a beautiful ending. Hear this verse, Numbers 1, verse 1, which is the very next book. So Leviticus is this instruction manual. This is how you live in my presence. And the very first verse of the book of Numbers says this: the Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the wilderness of Sinai. So Leviticus starts, Moses is outside. And by the end, after they've followed this instruction manual, Moses is in the tent. He's in the presence of God. This is the character of our God. Not only did he show up, right? That's an amazing thing. He said, I want to live with my people. So he just shows up even in the middle of nowhere, and his presence is there in a unique way. But he makes a way for the people to live in and around his presence. God's favorite place to be is with his people, and he makes a way for us to be with him. He longs to be with us. And we can ask, like, it's kind of a strange story. Why does God want to be with us so badly? It's because of his great love for each of us. Really what this represents, God showing up and making a way, is because he loves us so deeply that he would even show up in the middle of nowhere and find a way when it seemed impossible. So I hope we're starting to notice this theme, that it's not just in the Christmas story, but through all of Scripture, that God is persistently present. He is persistently present. He longs and insists on being with his people, even when we keep messing up or pushing God away or sinning and making mistakes. God keeps pursuing us. He wants us to know his presence. And maybe you know how this story continues in the Old Testament. That tabernacle becomes more permanent and they turn it into a permanent temple. But this doesn't really work because the people, they keep rebelling against God, and eventually in the book of Ezekiel, we learn that they have been just desecrating the temple, and God's presence eventually has to leave it. This tabernacle and temple is not God's solution, and that is why Christmas is so important. This story, this grand narrative is why Christmas is such a big deal, because God's plan from the very beginning of creation was to come and to be present with us, not in a tent or a tabernacle, but to come and be with us as a human. This was God's plan from the very beginning. And as we look at this, we can remember this verse we read in Exodus 24. It says, they are to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. We'll compare this verse to John chapter 1. And John is a first century account of the life of Jesus. And here in chapter 1, he's kind of describing who Jesus is. And it says this, the Word, what he's saying is God, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Christmas story. And John, you can see, clearly John is making a parallel here that God is moving in a unique way like he was in Exodus where he is coming to be present with his people. But John's statement is way more surprising and way more important because God isn't just coming, but he's coming like us as a human. He becomes flesh. God's favorite place to be is with his people, and he finds a way for us to be with him. God chose to become human. He didn't just want to be with us. He didn't just want to be close to us, but he wanted to be exactly like us. Friends, this is our God. He is the God that fully gets us. He's the God that understands us because he's gone through exactly what we go through. Right? He's experienced all of our experiences. He was born. He's had friendships. He's laughed over meals with his family. And he's even the God that lost loved ones. The God who got sick. The God who was tempted. Who cried. Who suffered. This is our God. And this is what Christmas is. Our God who, as Philippians 2, it's a really important passage. Philippians 2, it describes that he humbled himself. He humbled himself. It says he emptied himself. And he did not consider his position as God something to be used to his own advantage. But instead he emptied himself and he humbled himself and he lowered himself, it says, even as a servant. This is our God. This is the very character of the God that we worship. The God who is persistently present and finds a way that we can be in his presence. This is the Christmas story. And what we see in the Christmas story is exactly what Philippians 2 describes, that our God lowers himself. Our God empties himself and humbles himself so that we can know his presence. This is how much he loves us. He loves to be with us, and he makes a way for us to be with him. God's love is on full display when he humbly arrives in a manger. Right? We know the Christmas story. Jesus laid down in a manger. We know what a nativity scene looks like. Throughout this Advent season, we're gonna take time to be challenged by the Holy Spirit and look at how can I trust God and obey God and go out into the world. But church, today I ask us to look at God with awe and wonder. Not the God that's high up in the sky, far away, but the God that is laid down, humbled in a manger. Not some God that is untouchable, but the God that is humbled and laid down in that manger. Right, this is what we can reflect on this Christmas season. And I'm sure we've all seen beautiful nativity scenes, right? Even this one looks so beautiful. It probably wasn't that beautiful in real life. It was a very messy scene. Right, we call it a manger. Jesus, he was probably laid down in like a water trough, like something that the animals would drink out of. It would have been this gross scene. He would have been covered in blood and crying and fussing. And Mary and Joseph, they were probably worried. They didn't have much money. They were poor. They didn't really know what was going to happen. This is the arrival of the presence of God. Church, as we look for hope, as we look for fulfillment, as maybe we look for purpose, as we seek belonging, or as we look for whatever it is that we need right now, because we all need something, whatever we are looking for, may it be found in that manger this season. As we look to our God that has humbled himself, the very character of our God is to be present with us. The very character of our God is to be present with us. And church, we need to know his presence. Our persistently present God who makes a way for us to know him. And as we look at that, that this is not just something our God did, but this is actually who he is, that he is the God that is present with us. I wonder, what would it look like for us to learn from that character of God and be a people that are fully present in our world today? What would it look like if each of us, we said, oh God, we see that you are fully present in our world. What does it mean for me to be fully present in my world today? God, what would that look like? And this is really my challenge for you today and this week and even this Advent season, and really our hope even with filling out those ornaments and putting them up on the tree. Where is God leading you to be present in your world? In a world that has so many distractions, so many excuses maybe, where is God leading you? Again, I know each of us, we have our own contexts, our own communities. You have your own workplace, your own school environment, your own families and your own neighborhoods. What would it look like for you to be fully present in this season? And as you are present, to bring the love and the hope of Jesus. What could that look like in your life this week? And this month, where is God leading you? As we learn that our God is persistently present, how can we be present? Who's that neighbor you've never met? Who's that coworker that's not doing very well? Who's the family member you haven't reached out to in a while? I don't know what it is exactly for you, but we all are placed in these contexts, and those are a mission field for each of us. Where is God leading you this week and this month to be fully present, carrying the love and the hope of Jesus? So let me end off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have some time to discuss this and even brainstorm this a little bit together. Where is God leading us? So holy God, we come to you. And we are amazed that when we look to you, you are not far away, but you are laid humbly in a manger. God, we thank you that you are persistently present, that your favorite place to be is with us, and that you make a way. So God, we invite your presence, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move us. How can we be present in our world today? In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been with us, something we like to do is to have some time to kind of reflect on and actually discuss in community what we've been learning. So what you can do, if you've never been here before, you can just find a group of people around you and discuss these questions if it's helpful, or just discuss what's on your mind. And if you see someone sitting alone, feel free to invite them in. But no pressure if you don't want to do this. And then after, we'll have one more closing song. And the second question really is about our outreach this Advent season. And maybe even right now, there's something you're already doing or you're planning on doing. And I encourage you, even during this time, you can go to the back, get one of those paper ornaments, and you can put it up on that tree. Or maybe you're thinking, okay, what can I write down next week? What can I do this week to celebrate what I've done? So I'll give you a few minutes to discuss in your groups and maybe even to start filling out this tree.
can move it, and then next week, 3 and 4. Because I know, I was like, well, that one's perfect. But then she's like, I don't care. Thanks for doing this. Looks good. Oh, the CMC took it down. It's like a thing. They didn't want it on the cross, I guess. It might go back up. I don't know. I guess there was something. They were like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. CMC has, like, cultural things. So I don't know. Yeah, you know. Lee even knows. So it might go back up. I don't know. But they took it down. Yeah. I actually, like, feel like theologically it actually works. It's, like, pretty good, honestly. Yeah. Well, it might be back up next week. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Were you here late on Friday? Yeah. Yeah, last year was a lot more. Yeah. That's good. I'm all for simple. Might as well. We can just grab the tags off, and then next week start saying no. But Doris said she was going to move this one. That's all she didn't want. Oh. Okay. No, I don't. I'm honestly, whatever. I don't care. But whatever you guys think is best.
I see some wonderful discussions going on. It's great. Christmas is also a time of fellowshipping with people around us, so I'm sorry to have to cut short that a little bit. I invite you to rise. We're just going to respond to what with this line.